just click here. So good evening. I bring you greetings from Jerusalem. Marhaba. Salamu alaikum. Shalom aleichem. All the languages. And several of you, who has been to Jerusalem before, may I ask? Oh, this is good. I like it. All right. I bring you greetings from Jerusalem. I serve at the Palestinian Bible Society. I've been doing that for the past 20 years plus. My background, I studied hotel and restaurant management from the hospitality industry. And during the days of my university, I was very much involved in the student movement. I think it's called here InterVarsity. In Europe, it's called IFES, Fellowship. And back home, we founded a movement called CSPU, Christian Students for Palestinian Universities. So I'm a co-founder of that. And I linked at that time with the Bible Society because I used to take all of the Bibles that they printed and distribute them inside the universities. So they liked me very much. And then later on, they called me after I graduated and said, why don't you join us, you know? You do the job great, you know, you give out your Bible. So I prayed and I joined the Bible Society. It has been an amazing 20 years plus. I've seen God doing amazing things. And the area that we focus on is Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. I don't know if you've heard about these. All right, so you read your Bibles. So that's the area that we focus on. And I'm going to share briefly with you what God is doing. So this is a map of Palestine, Israel. And I don't know if you heard the latest statistics, but the Christian presence is there is declining significantly. So Christians in the West Bank and the Palestinian territories are less than 1%. In 1948, just a quick reminder, we were more than 20%. Now we are less than 1%, which is sad because these are the cities and towns and villages that have witnessed Jesus. Jesus walked through these cities. We heard about the Samaritan woman. We heard about Jericho. You know, these are the cities. These are the towns. And it's sad to go and to visit this place and hear from your tour guide about the miracle that Jesus did or the well that Jesus drank from. And it's the dead stones and the living stones are leaving. So this is sad. So our mission. And these are some of the numbers that you can see. We are 46,000, around 40,000 all over the West Bank, and 5,000 only, less than 5,000 in Jerusalem, and Bethlehem has 12,000 Christians. And our main mission is to live and give, serve, and proclaim the Word of God. So we are a Bible-centered organization. We focus on the Word of God and make it available in the hands of the people. And it's an irony because the land of the Bible, and I'll explain that to you, doesn't have the Bible. It's really sad to hear that, you know, I've been working with the church, one of the Orthodox churches, and you know, the Orthodox church is considered the mother of all churches. So if you go back in history, they used to speak Greek and Aramaic. And the Orthodox Church, current one, is a descendant of this church, 2,000 years old. And when I visit the head of the church and I tell him, please give me a Bible, he doesn't have one. How sad, you know, how late we are in our mission. And when we printed the New Testament with this church, and in this amazing celebration that we had, the head of the church whispers in my ears and he tells me, we should have done this project 2,000 years ago. An enlightenment that took 2,000 years to happen. But this is where we are. This is what we do. Making the Word of God available in the hands of the people. We heard about hope. Our vision is hope. The Word of God is hope and life to all. This is our message. And if you know a little bit about Palestinians, this is a nation that has no hope in anything. a nation that has been under heavy pressure for so many years. The land has been taken in the name of the Bible. Refugees have been all over the world in the name of the Bible, or some translation of the Bible. And they have been oppressed since 1948. Also, in the name of some of the versions of the Bible. And this is the people that we serve. This is the people that we bring hope and life for. And this is a picture that I took in Gaza Strip. And while we were driving in Gaza Strip, I saw a bunch of kids and tap of water. They don't have clean water all the time. But look how many kids were around the water. They were so excited, so happy. This is a drinking, clean drinking water. And this is our gospel. It's the living water. We heard about the Samaritan. I was in Samaria less than 2 weeks ago at Jacob's Well. I went there. I love this place. This is an amazing place. One of my favorite places in the whole country. And I go there and just sit there. I know the priest there. He's a crazy, amazing guy. I don't know how he put this combination together, but he is like that. And I just sit there and meditate on the well. It's authentic. It's the same well. There is no discussion about it. But I also meditate on Jesus, this amazing Palestinian Jew who went through Samaria to meet a woman and to bring salvation to a nation. And what we heard tonight is exactly right. At that well, I got inspired to reach out to the Samaritan people. And I don't know, do you know that there are Samaritans who still exist? Around 800 Samaritans, the smallest community on the face of earth. They live in Mount Gerizim, up in Nablus. And they have a high priest, and they do the sacrifices, and they have a temple. I was at that well. I felt strongly that God is telling me, what I've done 2,000 years ago here, I want you to do the same. Go up to the mountain, meet with the high priest, meet with the Samaritans, bring the gospel to them. And since then, we started this amazing project of bringing Christians, Samaritans, or they consider themselves the true Jews. Absolutely. They say, we are the Jews. And these Jews are not Jews. And Muslims. We started forming these gatherings for the three. We're having fellowship. You know, the Samaritans don't eat meat with us. So when we sit at one table with the priest, they wouldn't eat meat. They wouldn't eat chicken. The only thing that they eat is fish. It's amazing. You know, Jesus was a fish lover. I'm a fish lover too. But we'll sit, we'll eat fish. It's not kosher to their in their diet. And we talk. And one of the meetings that we had was about the Ten Commandments. You know, the Samaritans believe in the five books of Moses. So, and the Muslims believe in Moses. And the Christians, we also believe in the Old Testament and in the Bible. And we sat and talked about the Ten Commandments. Amazing times. The Palestine Bible Society, we have around 25 staff and 100 volunteers. There are some of our beautiful volunteers that we have working. And these are some of our staff in one of our retreats. I'm just giving you a taste of who we are. This is our advisory council. We have professors at the university. We have priests. We have lay people. Amazing board that God has blessed us with. Our passion is to reach out. We do not want to sit behind walls. We want to reach out to the Muslims. And we also want to reach out to the Jews. But we believe, as a Palestinian Bible Society that the heart for the Jews is through the Muslims. One of the strongest and most powerful testimonies you would ever hear is that a Palestinian preached to an Israeli and the Israeli came to know Christ. I testify for that. I have many children in the Lord who are Jews. And I am a very good Palestinian. Why do I say a very good Palestinian? Because, you know, I feel that this is my mission, not to discriminate, not to preach the gospel with, you know, ethnic and with borders within my heart, but rather preach it with only love and mission. So, building bridges, and on these bridges, preaching the gospel, and being the gospel, and being the mission is something that we try to do. It's not an easy thing to do. It's an investment. We really have to pour our hearts and our minds. We really have to find common grounds. You know, how do I get Muslims in this picture? This is the Sheikh of Jenin, Zababde. This is the Sheikh, the main Sheikh. And this is the main priest of the Orthodox Church. And this is the pastor of the church. How can we get them together? It's mission impossible. You know what? They hate each other. They talk about each other in the back. Christians talk about against other Christians. Do you know that? Maybe you don't have it here in Santa Barbara. You know. But that's what happens. Putting them together, getting them to know each other, getting them to talk is a taste of heaven on earth. And that's our mission, to do so. So this is something that we did a while back. It was a pilot project, bringing in Muslims during the month of Ramadan, the fasting month of Ramadan, and feeding them. At the break of the fast hour, you know, not before. We tried to do it before, but they said, you are a bad Christian. So, yeah, you know, we hear the Quran, we started feeding them. And who was feeding them? Our staff. Our staff, we asked them to put on the shirt, Palestinian Bible Society. Staff, we didn't bring a catering agency or company. Our staff would go and would serve food on the tables for these Muslim sheikhs and imams in one of the ruler areas called Jenin, Jenin Zababde, and would serve them. You wouldn't believe the reaction that we got. You wouldn't believe what the news wrote about us the next day. We were on the national news, on the newspaper. They were writing, the Palestinian Bible Society does that for the imams. It's not like a regular Muslim that you find on the street who doesn't know anything about Islam and you can become friends with and talk about food. And no, these are imams who know the Quran very well, who preach the Quran every week, every Friday. They saw our love. They saw that we were serving them. We respected their culture. We respected their tradition. And we served them. And in that meeting, when I spoke, I got to speak. I got 1 minute to speak. I preached love. I said, we love you guys. This is our mission. We love you. We care for you. You're our nation. And we're here to serve you. And we're not saying it only by words. We're going to do it. And we're going to wash your feet and serve you food. Just after that event, we felt that this whole town and city of Jenin turned upside down. Before that, imams would preach against us in the mosques. I would hear them cursing Christians and Jews. They stopped. Before that event, there were so many fights in Zababde, Jenin, between Christians and Muslims. Now, something goes wrong, it's sorted out within a day or two. Things have shifted and changed. And I don't say we did that and all the problems are solved. No, we need to continue doing that. But that's, again, a taste of change, of heaven. Changing community, changing society takes a sacrifice. Takes out-of-the-box thinking. Takes the second mile. And this is what we're trying to do back home in our country. At this same place, Jeanine and Zababdi, which are great, we are grateful for Santa Barbara Community Church, for your engagement. You helped us. Thank you very much. We're building a community, Christian community center. And I'll show you some pictures. But this is when we started this dream. We said we want to build something that would serve the nation and the people here. And we went and we started praying. And we stood on the ruins, took stones and prayed. And had this vision. We started building. You helped us. We're grateful. This is our dream. A community center that would gather Samaritans, Christians, Muslims, Israeli Arabs, Palestinians, all in this place. And they will get to know Christ. This is our desire. We're halfway. We're halfway. And this is amazing. I want you to continue to pray for us that we will finish it. And we would like to invite you all to come and visit us and see this center and see how interactive. You know, this place, this town has 22,000 university students. It's full of young life, young people. And this is the future of our nation. We want to reach them from now. We took this picture less than a month ago. Some of our board members, we went up on the roof and we prayed for Jeanine, for the university, Arab American University, and for the center. Our goal is not to build a center, but to build a nation. And to build a nation that knows God and that worships God. This is our desire. And one of the main things that we also do is bring the church together. Do you believe that this is mission impossible? Well, if you don't, try to do it. It's very hard. It's really hard to get the church together, regardless of the background, if it was traditional or evangelical. Just to have them together in one place, it's impossible. But God has given us this favor. Being a Bible society and giving out the Bible, we have relationships with many churches. So this is one of the pictures of the church together in an event called Bible Day that we've been doing for the past 5 years. And we bring evangelicals, Orthodox, and Catholics together with also MBBs, Muslim background believers, all together in one place to worship God and to thank Him for His word. So these are some of the events. This is our team giving out Bibles, and we give out Bibles by thousands. These events, we have at least 1,500 people coming to these events from different places all through the country. And this is the first line are the priests, you know, all together, and the church leaders, and behind are the people. And people come out of these events with the word of God, filled, I believe, with energy to read the word, to engage with the word, and to inspire others also to read the word. We did that last year in Jeanine, and it was also mission impossible because we couldn't find a place to accommodate this number of people up in the north part of the West Bank. So we decided to get out of the box, and we decided to go to our mission place where we want to reach. So we went to the university. And you tell them, would you give us your, what do you call it, auditorium? It's a secular university run by Muslims. And we just have, you know, just good relationship with them. And we told them, would you please give us the place to do a Bible Day? The reaction was unbelievable. Guess what they did? They said, well, we're going to give you the place. Look at the place. It's going to be free of charge. We're not going to charge you. Christian places will charge us. Secular Muslim university didn't charge us. We're going to give you the cafeteria. We filled all of these people. We fed them. All of them. We distributed Bibles. At least 6,000 or 7,000 Bibles were given out in this event inside the university. This is unheard of. And this is God. This is God. This is God. What we've heard tonight is very inspiring for me. You know, we need to hear the heartbeat of God. And play music accordingly. This is what it is. If you do so, then you have music. You have worship to God. If you don't, it's going to be a loud noise without any impact. Also, we are engaged very much in humanitarian work, relief, and community development work. We believe in that big time, and we believe in the 5 loaves and 2 fishes principle. So that's why we do a lot of ministry in Gaza, and we're thankful for you guys for helping us and standing with us. An average of 100 families are fed every month as a result of this program. We go and serve the people, provide hot meals for poor families. And this is my picture in Gaza with some of the kids. And this is an amazing reflection of Gaza. Because this is how Gaza looks like. Total destruction. There's no cement to rebuild these places and these houses and these hospitals. There isn't. You have a government that is totally corrupt, totally uninterested in serving the nation. And they are, serving their own bellies, as we say in my language. But these bunch of kids, I saw them in the street playing football next to this ruined building. And I gathered them and we just said a prayer. And I saw in them, in their eyes, so much hope. So much hope. And I felt, wow, this is the people that I want to serve. Children and youth. This is whom I want to reach out. This is whom I want to bless. Because Jesus did that. And I want to do the same. So, this face of a child that I took, look at it, you know. Can you resist not loving him? Not caring, not thinking and praying for such a child who lives in Gaza. What is his fault to be born in Gaza? To live in an open-air prison. Gaza is an open-air prison. It's a ghetto. You cannot go to Gaza. You cannot come out of Gaza. You cannot have clean water. You cannot have clean food. You cannot have a job. You cannot have good idea. You have nothing in Gaza. The big banner over Gaza is no. Nothing. And what is the fault of this boy? It's also nothing. And that's why we exist as a Palestinian Bible Society, as a mission agency, to serve such children and to bring them hope and to tell them about Jesus. Anyways, Bible Society, Palestinian Bible Society, is also engaged in digital. We dramatize the Bible in colloquial Palestinian language. So we do the story of Joseph in Samaria, where it actually happened. And we bring actors from Samaria to dramatize the story. We did the story of Abraham in Hebron. We did the story of Ruth in Beit Sahur on Boaz Hills and so on. We do the stories there. We link them to the location, to the site. And one of our very interesting programs is doing excursions also to these sites. Linking people with the land and with the Word of God is something unique, extraordinary. Once you have that, you have people who are attached to the Bible and to the Word of God. Again, some pictures of our activities with children. Again, the main focus of our mission is children and youth. So we invest a lot of energy, a lot of work. We do puppet shows. We cover at least 10,000 children every year with our programs and our activities. We do Bible contests also. These are some of our puppet shows. Look how many children. Yeah, we bring lots of cheerful spirits into these programs, you know. So they laugh a lot and they engage a lot with us. And this is also some more pictures of the children that we serve, proclaiming the word of God. You know, every year we have an average of 70,000 Bibles and scriptures and portions that are given out, at least 70,000. This is a very conservative number in our events and our activities. I also want to talk briefly about Jerusalem. Jerusalem, I'll get to that. Jerusalem is a city that is suffering a lot because you have Jews, Muslims, and Christians living there. And in the past few years, so many Christians have left Jerusalem. I mean, I grew up in the old city of Jerusalem, in a neighborhood, the Christian quarter. All of my neighbors, all of them, have left the country. I came to San Francisco here to meet my childhood friend just before this. He's been here for the past 25 years, I believe. He's well off. You know, he has so much money, this guy. But he left Jerusalem broke, with zero. And he left it because of the Intifada. His parents didn't want him to live in Jerusalem and to suffer and to go to prison and to do all of that. And he left. And that's a scenario of one Christian, but all of my neighbors, all of them in the area that I grew up left. They're either in Latin America or the United States or Scandinavia, all of them. And this is the story of Jerusalem since 20 years. So many Christians are leaving Jerusalem. And recently we linked with a group inside the old city of Jerusalem. And we said, we want to do something extraordinary for Jerusalem. We want to bless this city, the city of our Lord. So we started these small events during Christmas and Easter. It's a public event. So I want to ask you before I continue my story, have you been to Newgate? Newgate in Jerusalem. Have you been to Newgate? It's close to Jaffa Gate. Nobody? I know Mandy has been, at least one person. You've been, all right, very good. So this is one of the entrances into the old city of Jerusalem. And we started this gathering during Christmas and Easter. And this gathering gathers around 6,000 to 7,000 Christians. It's in the open air, public area. I usually have a mic. Huge speakers. I'm the MC of this event, usually. And we basically read scriptures publicly. And we pray. We have a small sermon. Somebody comes and preaches the gospel. And this is public for all people. We've been doing that for the past 5 years. It's crazy because everybody doesn't want us to do it. Not the municipality, neither the Muslims in that neighborhood. But we continue doing it. And praise God. It's an amazing event. And this is a picture of that. Again, to end, being salt and light in the land of Jesus. Bringing hope to the ones who are deprived from hope. Standing in the gap. Crossing all boundaries and borders. We do not go politics there. We don't preach pro-Palestinian, pro-Jews. We preach pro-Jesus. This is the kingdom of God. That's why I mean, boost having children of my own who are Jewish, you know, spiritual children, as well as Muslims, as well as Christians. And this is the spirit that we want to spread. Pray for us. Pray for peace and justice. Pray for the Bible Day for leaders next Friday. We're doing something extraordinary. We're gathering 200 leaders, national leaders, into one place called Jericho, and a place called the Good Shepherd. And we've called the event the Good Shepherd. And we need your prayers because this is something that could be a breakthrough into the spiritual situation of our country and could be the cause of many problems and trouble. But we want the first, by the grace of God. We want to see unity. We want to see vision. And we want to see clear identity and as well movement together towards the gospel and the word of God, and continue to pray for our nations in the Holy Land and for peace, the internal peace that comes from God. Thank you very much, Santa Barbara Community Church. Thank you for supporting us, for helping us. God bless you.